What does it mean to ascend? That's a good topic for thought for today, isn't it? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with a thought for today. What does it mean to ascend? What does it mean to ascend? It means to take your body with you. That's a nice idea. Or leave it behind. But basically take your body with you. Because that really blows their mind. That really blows the mind of everybody who is aware of you. And they say, what happened? Now, we all know about the Missing Persons Bureau. We know that in every city, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of thousands of missing persons. And sometimes they change, you know, the new ones every month, which is what they do. And where did these people go? Can these all these people just disappear? Can all these people just you know, run away from their homes, their wives, their husbands, their families, their jobs, their world, and just disappear? Can all of them just maybe die? You know? We have no report of them dying. You have a report of them dying. Of course, there are a lot of missing people who died too, you know, left their body behind and were incognito, and no one knew who they were. But I would say, from my knowledge and from your awareness too, that if not all of them, the majority of the missing people have ascended. They have taken their body with them, basically, and they have moved on to another level of consciousness. Now, they're not dead, because if they choose to come back to this level of consciousness, they're perfectly free to do so. We don't reincarnate, because we only live in the now, and we live eternally in the now. So we could be living on an infinite, we are living on an infinite number of levels of consciousness right now. And you think it's a deja vu, you think it's a remembrance of something past or something that to come, that all of a sudden, hey, I've done that before, you know. But really, you're just living on all of these levels of consciousness, and it's true. Now, the hardest thing for us to get a hold of in our mind is that now includes, and this sounds ludicrous, now includes every moment of time. As you said to yourself, well, how can now be every moment of time? Well, because the now includes every single moment of time. It includes every instant of the universe. And you say, well, that means there's a tomorrow and there's a past. And there's no, there aren't. There's no tomorrow. There's no past. All of them are happening right now. And you merely are not aware of it. Anita, if I say to Anita, Anita, Happy. And instantly, Anita's mind goes to her dog, Happy. And she hasn't had her dog, Happy, with her for quite a while now. And she immediately goes to that dog, Happy. She immediately sees him wiggling his tail while he's sitting still on the carpet. You know, she immediately sees him doing his antics in the now. And yet, from our way of looking at it, it was maybe 5 months ago or a year ago that Happy was doing these things. Since then, she gave Happy away as she was making her journeys and travelings around. And so, where's Happy now? Right in her heart. What's Happy doing? He's right in her heart being happy. And that's what it's all about. You see, and we want to put times on that. Now, that's because we are time-oriented. We want to say it's 8 o'clock, it's 12 o'clock, it's 15 hours later, it's yesterday. But no. Whenever Anita thinks of Happy, it is now that Happy is with her. If you say to her, well, when's the last time you saw Happy? What do you mean? I was just talking to Happy. I was just with Happy. Were you petting him? Sure. Is he enjoying his petting? Oh, yes, he's a wiggle hunter, you know. He just likes to wiggle all over the place and tell me how much he likes my petting him, you know. And so, you see, there's no past, because every past that is thought of as the past is the present at the time we think of it. And we shouldn't say time. And what are you going to say to relate to that? You're going to say, every time. When? You see, there's all time oriented. When? Every time. And as I think of it, and circa, whatever, you know. It's tough. It's tough. Because our language just isn't planned on the allness and the nowness and the isness and the here-ness, and it isn't planned for that sort of thing. It's like when I told Katrina, you know, write the dictionary of only positive words. That was an impossible task, because every word has a secondary clause to it. You know, it has an on or an off or an is or an out or whatever. So, however, we do ascend, and we ascend every moment of our life. We ascend every moment of our life when we are off on some plane. Now, some of you have taken out-of-body journeys, and you have had a lot of fun in doing those things. It's just a ball, you know. And you're off wandering around the universe in your out-of-body. And some people, like Reverend Monroe, who wrote a book about it, he said that when he was on his out-of-body journey, he felt something on his back. And he looked back there, and it was him. And people say, well, when they go on an out-of-body journey, how are they going to find their way back to their bodies? Well, sometimes people don't. Not that they don't find their way back, they don't want to come back. They're having too much fun on whatever trip or journey they are. Now, you cannot separate yourself from your physical body. The only thing that you can do is dissolve your physical body and let it return to all of its atomic substance, and then you are free from it, unless you free yourself from it. You might say, I'm done with that body. You lay it aside and you go off. Now, Star Trek gives us a lot of neat little stories. They had these two people, they would get in a box, there were two boxes, and then it would shift consciousness. And then the one person had the consciousness of the other person, and the other person had the consciousness of the one person. And then they went out and they were playing their games. Well, now, you've heard of Beam Me Up, Scotty?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now, they're putting that into practice in a very minute way, and it'll get big in no time. And beam me up, you'll be able to beam from here to there. And you see, we'll learn how to realize that we've always been doing it. We have always been doing it. When you think of your home in Nigeria, you're there. When you think you're sitting in your living room, you're there. Now, when you were at your office, remember when you worked and you had an office? You're there. See, the moment I say that to you and you remember it, you're there. You're there. It's a real thing. Now, what if you were sitting in your office and you knew me and you said, I think I'll go visit Herb. And so you pop over here and visit us. And you're just as much here as you were there. And so you decide, hey, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here for an indefinite time. So your body is back there. And they go in the office and they find your body there. Say, oh my God, you died, you know. And if they would really inspect your body, they'd see that it's perfectly alive. You're just not, your consciousness is not there. Your consciousness is somewhere else. Your consciousness is your reality. No. Sylvia goes in town, and she goes to the parking lot, and she parks her car there. The beautiful golden Windstar. And she parks it in the lot. And she says, I lost my car. I can't remember where I parked it. The cars came and went, you know, and that parked next to that big car that I was parked next to that I was going to use as a marker to show me where my car was. And where did I park it, you know? So she takes a little button and presses it, and beep, 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 beep. Oh, there it is, you know. So, now what if Sylvia never found the car? And she had to take a cab or somewhere else somehow. She would say, my car's gone. Is it dead? No. It's just definitely alive yet someplace, you know. And it's there. Now, all Sylvia would have to do, if she really misplaced the car, is just to stop and say, I know where my car is, and then walk directly to it. But the thing is, we haven't trained ourselves in that, have we?
We have, yes.
Oh, good, good. You're graduate students. I keep forgetting that. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. Okay. Now, what do we do when we ascend? When we ascend, we just get on a boat and we go over the horizon. And to all intent and purposes, we're gone. And we are gone, as much gone as you can be. Or Anita and Heinz, they get into an airplane and they fly to New Zealand. But Sybil here, she doesn't get into an airplane. She just says, I'm now home. And she's home. She's now, I'm with the golden boy. And she's with the golden boy, you know. That kid's going places. And she says all these things, and people say, ha, ha, ha. Sybil, where's your airline ticket? It's in my purse. Yeah, everything's in order. Don't worry about a thing. She doesn't want people to get the wrong idea about her, that she's a magical lady or a mystical person. She doesn't want people to know that she can ascend on a moment's notice and have the wonderful journey in another level of consciousness. She doesn't want people to know that. Now, you say, Herb, that's a lot of joking. That's a lot of foolishness. That's right. That's just what it is. And the more foolish it is, the harder it is to believe, the more real it is. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember that saint person, or that priest who couldn't keep his himself down? He kept floating. He was living in this monastery over in Europe someplace, and there's stories in the Catholic literature about him where whenever he'd feel exalted, he'd float. And his associates had to grab his feet and tie him down so he wouldn't float away. Because they should have let him float away. Maybe he would have had a great journey. But they kept tying him down. Well, now, they never canonized him. They never made him a saint. They talk about him, but they never made him a saint because it's too unbelievable, you know. Because the Mary Mother of God wasn't around, or Jesus didn't come around, or some other being say, yes, this is true. He is really floating. And they think just these priests who are around him, they want to believe that he's floating because that's kind of neat, you know. Well, the priests would rather not believe that he's floating because they didn't do it. And they don't want to think that he's better than they are, you know, to do things they don't do. But, you see, when we realize that we ascend every moment of our life, you might say. Every moment of our life, we have thoughts. And thoughts are things, and we are traveling wherever our thoughts take us. And Monica's thought works, and Stefan's thought works projects are kind of fascinating from that point of view. But that's what it's all about. And it's just like the Bleep movie, you know. It makes you wonder. If thoughts can do that to water, what can thoughts do to our life? Have you seen the Bleep movie yet?
Mm-hmm.
Then you know about it.
Here she saw it.
Yeah. Oh, you're here?
Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. I just don't remember how many people we showed it to. But,
You show it to everybody.
I show it to everybody.
Yeah,
yeah. So, remember, ascension is the real word to define deceased. Because you're deceased from this particular level of awareness, and you're removed, you might say, to another level. But, you could also be back here.
Mm-hmm.
You could also be back here. Now, I'm going to tell you this secret, and it's just for you guys. The secret is just for you guys. And remember, if you choose to, I don't like to use the word rematerialize, but I guess that's what it is. If you choose to rematerialize as Heinz right now, after you had ascended, and you were gone for maybe 10 years, and you chose to rematerialize here as Heinz.
You can.
you would rematerialize as Heinz, and nobody would ever know that you weren't always here, that you had taken a journey over to Russia. Nobody would ever know that. You understand? Nobody would ever realize that you were not here for a while. Yes, you took a trip to Russia. They would not know that you were not here. And so when you returned here after 10 years, they would say, Heinz, so what? You know, big deal. He was in Russia. He was whatever, you know. You see, we ascend all the time. We do this all the time. But we don't care. Those who are masters at this don't care. They don't say, you don't realize that I really died and I just chose to reassemble my body parts and be here again in front of you like I was when I was here before. But Heinz, you haven't aged in 10 years. And you say, hey, look, my program is younger, not older. So Heinz is his beautiful 25-year-old self, right?
Right.
And healthy, hearty, happy, wealthy, sociably acceptable in every positive way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So much for ascension. Did you like our little journey into ascension?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Yeah. So, see you next time. I'll be back. And have a wonderful day. No, I love you. I love you.
I love you.